Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Can we put our hands together for the worship team? Such an amazing team. We have so many gifted people in the house. It's awesome. Love it. Youth was great on Friday night. I heard that there was extra anointing on Friday night. I'm not sure why. Yep. But Ryan got saved again. Is that right? Is that what you just said? Yeah. It's good. No, free to preach the word of God on Friday night. How amazing is that? So did Ryan with his tithes and offerings message. So good. And something else happened as well. Anyway, we're going to come around the word. Is anyone excited for the word of God today? You ready to receive? I've been thinking about Christmas, and I just wanted to have a message full of joy for us for Christmas. So I've titled today's message, The Gift of Grace. The Gift of Grace is truly the best gift ever given to humanity, the gift of grace through Jesus Christ. So today's scripture is Romans 6:23. I'm reading the Amplified Bible. How good is that? So we're going to amplify this verse today. So it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, that is his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can just say an amen right there, and that's the message today. That's awesome, isn't it? The free gift of grace in Christ Jesus is eternal life. I love that. You know, God's grace is not earned. It's a gift. It's not earned. It's a gift. It's really simple to understand. There was nothing that we could do for God to decide to send Jesus. Didn't even exist when that decision was made. The Bible teaches us that that decision was made before the foundations of the earth. So there was nothing that humanity could actually do for the gift of grace, for the gift of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that take the pressure off just a little bit? Yeah. There's nothing that we can do. Even today in your world today, you need to know and you need to hear these words, that there's nothing that you can do that makes you worthy of the gift of grace, of the gift of Jesus' redemption and his salvation. He truly loves you as you are. He created you. He formed you. He loves you as you are. And he loves you so much that he won't leave you like this. He will transform you and make you the best you that he always knew that you could possibly be. So there's nothing we could do to earn this gift of grace. We access this gift, however, through faith. And that's what differentiates the church from the rest of the world, is we choose to place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior of the world. And through that, we access what grace gives us, which is everlasting life, eternal life. Now, here's the thing about grace is, if you could imagine Jesus does what he does on the cross, rises again, and this gift of grace then is formulated for all of humanity. That means you and I have access to this. We have chosen it. That's why we're here today. And that means that everyone in our world, no matter how good they are or how bad they are, they all have the ability to obtain this grace. And all we need for that, get this, all we need for that is to place our faith in Jesus Christ. How amazing. You know, I often say on Sundays when we do the salvation call, which we will do today again at the end of the service, I often say the only way we receive salvation is through faith, and the only way we lose our salvation is through a losing or a lack of faith. And so therefore, no matter what the devil or the enemy tries to convince us of, it's just not true. He's a liar. And it's just not true. While your faith is in Jesus, you are saved. But here's the thing. Faith is only able to happen. We only have faith because of the grace of God. Faith is only available to us to be activated in something that will change and transform our lives because of Jesus, because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, that he would come for us and make this available for us. So it's available for everyone, but it's obtained through faith. Ephesians 2:8 says this, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Here's the good news today, is there's nothing you can do. It's not obtained by works. I'm saying that so much because the Gospels is full of this exact story. There is absolutely nothing you can do right that will make you better or position you to receive salvation, to be under the grace of God. There is absolutely nothing. I'm saying to the worst of sinners here today, you are the same as the smallest sinner here today. We all need the grace of God, and we all can access that through faith. Is that good news? Yeah. So it doesn't matter where you're from. You can be straight out of Woodford Prison right now, or you can be the most glorified saint, so to speak. But if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have eternal life and redemption. And if you do, you have it no matter who you are. I love that. So don't ever let the enemy try and pull you down anymore. And say, because you thought this, because you said this, because you did that, don't ever let the enemy ever anymore try and make you less of who you are. Because who knows that we are King's kids. You're a son and you're a daughter of God. And while you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are under that blood of Jesus that covers you. I love that. Amen. You know, Hebrews 4, 14, 16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Let's come boldly into the house of the Lord every single Sunday. Let's come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In the time of need indicates that it's okay to not have it all together, but God's grace is sufficient for you. It's okay that you have a crazy past. And some of us have a really crazy past. But His grace is sufficient for you, amen? God knows that we fail all the time. God knows that if you're Graham Politansky, you fail every single second of every day. I mean, man, the amount of thoughts I have to bring into captivity is insane. But the truth is His grace is sufficient for me and for you. You know, people think that people that don't talk much, you know, when I'm not up on platform, I actually don't talk that much. I'm the sit in the corner sort of guy and hit my head against the wall. But no, that's when I'm stressed. They think that life's simple for us, you know, that we're simple people. The truth is our minds are insane. You know, external people, you see their minds. They just wear it out there, you know what I mean? But with us internal, quiet people, our minds are truly a battlefield. But who knows, the grace of God is sufficient for us. So never look at people like myself with my character or personality and think that life is simple. We go through battles that no one knows. It's internal. But God's grace, every single day that I wake up and that you wake up, every single moment is sufficient. It's so sufficient that the blood of Jesus covers you and that Heavenly God, Father in heaven looks at you and He sees righteousness. How insane is that? He sees redeemed. He sees set free. He sees wholeness. He sees blessed. That's who He sees when He sees you and I. You know, I said, and I did this in the early service, and it's not part of my notes, but I think it just works. But if you could just imagine a rope right now from that black wall going into outer darkness, to that black wall into outer darkness, and that there is time, okay? Now, from a heavenly perspective, there actually isn't time. Time was created for the earth, for you and I. But so there's no time, okay? Now, God looks at this rope, and He sees this little fiber. And in the context of eternity, on that little fiber is your, or actually is the planet. And then within that planet Okay, so thousands and thousands and thousands of years of life is your 80 years. It's so insignificant that an ant can't see it. But it's so significant, the Bible says, that his every thought is on you and me. How amazing. Out of all of that span, his every thought is on us. Now, here's the thing, is when we understand that, we can understand sin just a little. We can understand. So John, Eden, and I have little Hebrew chats from time to time. And one of our chats, I think it was in Hebrew class 2 years ago, Rabbi said that in one drop of sin, now listen to this, one drop of sin is more terror than an ocean of suffering. Wow. Let me say that again. In one drop of sin is more terror than yours or my lifetime of suffering. So think of everything we could possibly go through, all the heartache, all the loss, all the problems in our world. And it's like mountains, isn't it? Like the reality of that for us overcomes people. People without Christ get overcome by their suffering and what they go in. But there is more terror in just a drop of sin. So let me explain. In eternal life, and then on that little grain there of rope somewhere in the middle, is earth in its full existence of earth, thousands of years. And then in that is 80 years, yours, your life or my life, right? Now, one drop of sin separates us from God for the whole eternity. And all the suffering that you could possibly go through, this is why Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. He saw the joy. In all of our seas and lifespans of suffering, it's over with in that 80 years. Is it relevant? Yes, 100%. Is it real? 100%. Does it hurt and does it suck? Absolutely. Do we wish that no one would go through that? Absolutely. But that's the detriment of sin right there. But God, because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to endure what we endure. The Bible just taught us before, everything we could possibly go through and endure, Jesus did that all the way to humanity's worst way of dying, the cross. He endured it all so that when he rose again, his blood then covers us. This is what the Bible teaches. Now when Heavenly Father looks at you and I, he doesn't see sin anymore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus' blood. He looks at you and he sees redeemed, he sees whole, he sees forgiven. For eternity, you are a son and daughter of God. And here's what's greater. Not only for eternity when we die, but right here and now in our existence for the rest of our lives, we are righteous and redeemed people by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Yeah, let's give God some praise this morning. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news, is that he covers us. You know, Paul said he asked God three times in the Bible to take the thorn out of his side. And Paul described this thorn as a messenger from Satan to buffet him. In other words, to keep him on the wide road outside of the ways of God, to buffer God out of him every single day. That's like the temptations and the sins that we go through every single day. You could almost say that a messenger of Satan is here on earth to buffet every one of us, to try and get us off the road to the path of heaven of righteousness. And, you know, God responded to Paul after the third time, and he said this. He said in 2 Corinthians, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, often we say this part of the scripture. We say, his strength is perfect in our weakness. But God actually said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, that my strength is perfected in your weaknesses. Therefore, most gladly," Paul said, "I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul understood this eternity. And Paul went, whoa, I'm a man here for 80 years. And he goes, I would rather walk in the strength of God and the blessing of God and suffer as I do. You got to understand what Paul went through. He was whipped, I think, 3 times. Back then, whips weren't like we think. They had glass and everything. Like his back was shredded. He was imprisoned. Like he was mocked and spat. Paul was so humbled by this that when he died, he was also crucified. But he said, don't crucify me like my Lord Jesus. Crucify me upside down. I am not worthy. And so he was actually crucified upside down. He understood the worst the devil and the worst the enemy and the worst your life and the worst that person and the worst that situation could possibly bring you is nothing compared to the strength of God inside of us. And he was looking with a heavenly perspective to an eternal life forever and forever. Amen. Is that not good? That's great. Hey, so Paul understood that when the enemy tries to defeat us, God turns all things together for good. When we are weak, God's mercies pick us up, His grace restores us, and His victory goes before us. That's when we are weak. Here's the thing, is this scripture just said to us that in our weaknesses and that in our time of need, you know when God is strongest in us? You know when you are strongest? Is in your time of need. Did you know that? We are strongest in our... How do we know if something or somebody is strong? We only know when there's resistance. The only way you can know how strong a rope is, isn't until you tow a car with it. And then you know, man, that's a strong rope. I didn't realize it'd be that strong. It's so skinny. You know? And the devil sometimes looks at me and he goes, look at that skinny little runt.
No way.
No way, right? It's not what I see. Especially in the City Point North shirt today, representing. But he goes, that rope's pretty skinny, but he's wound together with his God, with the Spirit, with the Father, with his wife. They are a cord knitted together that they can't be broken. But I don't know that in me until pressure comes. I don't know that in me until temptation comes. In our weakness, he is strong. But get this. Because of his strength in your weakness, you are strong because of Jesus Christ who lives inside of us. You believe that today? That we are strong. If you're going through things in your marriage right now, you're just learning how strong you can possibly be right now. Keep moving. Keep walking forward in Jesus' name and declaring over your world. If you're going through things with your friends and your relationships right now, you're just working out about how strong you are, how thick that rubber band is and how far it can be pulled. But let me tell you, once they let go of that rubber, once the devil realizes you aren't to be messed with and he lets go of that rubber band, the further you can be pulled back is the further forward that you're going to go into your destiny. Don't ever let the enemy pull you down anymore, because that pulling down is a testing of our faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that as a church. You know, the devil condemns, but God convicts. Romans 8, 1 to 4 says this. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. This is why Jesus came. Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Graham's interpretation. Every day, sin or the sin nature of who we are born or the world we are born into raises its head and we make mistakes. If you walk according to the flesh, you walk towards that sinful nature. In other words, you start to just think it's okay. Well, I didn't get in trouble for looking at the pornography, so it's not that big a deal. God forgives me because of His grace. The blood of Jesus covers me. It's all good and I'm forgiven. But what happens is when we accept that, when we accept the mindsets, whatever it is that you're dealing with in your world, when we accept it, we are taking steps and walking towards flesh. Who knows that when you walk or you're on a journey, there's a destination? All right. So when you walk in the flesh, you might be covered by the blood and the grace of God that we're preaching today. But as you walk, you start walking towards the edges of that covering. And you start to accept in your world more and more of the sinful self. And so you walk towards the destination of condemnation in your world. And before you realize, you turn around and you're outside the covering. In other words, your faith is no longer placed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Your faith is placed in yourself and the decisions that you make. So you are now a man of the flesh. But this scripture tells us that for those who walk in the Spirit, in other words, we all make mistakes, but every time we do, when we realize we've made a mistake or we've entertained sinful nature, we bring it before the cross. Now, Jesus no longer lives at the cross, right? So we bring it and we submit it to the cross, and then we get back up, and then we walk in the Spirit. We walk towards the things of the Lord. We do this by reading our Bible. We do this by praying. We do this through submitting to our leaders. We do this by humility, humbling ourselves before God and before those around us. And so we take the steps of walking in the Spirit. The Bible says that those who walk in the Spirit will not be condemned, that we will be free, that we'll be covered by the grace of God. Be a church that walks in the Spirit.
That's right.
We walk in the Spirit. When you go to the book of Galatians, it says that those who are in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, have the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Depends what version of the Bible you read. The order is different. But we have the fruits of the Spirit. Who would love to have peace? Joy. So we choose to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. First of all, the devil condemns because he's condemned. Secondly, the devil tries to condemn us because he tries to hold us to the law. But Jesus fulfilled the law. Amen. The Bible says and teaches us that Jesus didn't do away with the law. The law still exists. But Jesus fulfilled the law. And as we receive Jesus into our lives, as we all have here, if you're a believer today, we are walking in a fulfilled law. Therefore, we walk in grace. And that's the New Testament. We walk in grace. Law says, mess up and receive punishment. Grace says, get up and let's try again. And again. And again. And again, and if you're like me, you're not even past day one yet. But then again, you know, we get up and we go again. The law or condemnation will convict you and try and remind you of your old sinful self. But grace reminds you that you're redeemed and that you have a new self, that you're a new creation, that you're born again, that you have a great life to have now and a great destiny. So here's a great question, and I like this. I just want to bring a bit of balance to this message just as we finish up here. But a great question then is, does this unbelievable grace of God excuse us to continue sinning without care? Here's the big answer for you. No. Paul said, how can we continue to live in our old sinful nature that God has delivered us from? And when we have received the righteousness of Christ. See, we must understand that God, that grace is obtained through faith. And this faith is completed. Listen, this faith is completed in good works. Let me explain. You know how we can choose to walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit? Every time we do good works. Now, good works here isn't a, kudos to you kind of thing. You bought, a child a lollipop and they love you for it. You know, that's not the good works. I'm talking about good spiritual works, things of the spirit. So, for instance, when we pray, when we care for people, when we feed the people that, or we look after the homeless, where we do things with a heart of righteousness before God, and we're stepping, what we are doing is we're building our faith in Jesus. And so that's called walking in the spirit. But when we walk in the flesh, what happens is our faith more and more starts to go inward. Faith is amoral. Does anyone remember that message a couple of years ago from Pastor Brian? So we can place faith in ourselves, or we can submit ourselves and surrender ourselves and put our faith in God. As we do that, our faith strengthens. As we do this, our faith in God weakens and becomes more about ourselves. Does anyone remember how I started the message today? How are we saved? By faith through grace. So as we lose our faith, what happens is we stand outside this covering and we're also having a salvation issue. But as we strengthen our faith, we strengthen the salvation issue and it will overwhelm us to become witnesses. So that's what it is. So now when we are talking about, do we have the right to sin or can we just go out and sin? Yeah, you can make that choice, but you're also on the pathway of the flesh. So Paul was saying, how could we receive this grace from God and then turn our backs to the Spirit and to righteousness and walk a life in the flesh? Does that make sense? So we are covered, church, but we always, every single day, have that decision to make of submission to God and His righteousness and His grace. So that balances up today's message. If anyone's going, woohoo, I can go out and just live how I want because of, well, you can, but you're also on that journey right now. And I encourage you as a church, why don't we go down that journey? The greatest gift to all humanity is grace, the grace of God. Amen. You believe that? Yeah. Receive that today? Yeah. That's awesome. Well, that pretty much does my message today. That's it. I'm finished. I'm over with. You know, it's this grace of God that gives us joy. Amen. It's this grace of God that allows us to come into the season of Christmas. You know, whatever it is, you know, you got the in-laws coming over. Good luck with that. And you got your brothers and sisters maybe you haven't spoken with, or, you know, maybe you're just about to finish school for the year and you're going through the holidays and there's that lonely season with missing your friends. Maybe you finished grade 12. Any grade 12 cadets in the house today? There's a few. And perhaps you're finished grade 12 and it's the grace of God that allows us to have joy in our everyday life. You know, always just turning our affection, turning our attention to God. Just saying, thank you, God, for what you have done for me. Amen. Receive that today, the grace of God. Awesome. Why don't we just close our eyes? I'm just going to pray. You know, perhaps you've been here, you're here today and you've just been listening to this and you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you're like, you know what, today can be the day. You know, I want to be covered by the grace. I've got a past. Maybe you've got a present that's not so good. Maybe even today you're going to walk out of this building and you've got to face some real stuff. Why don't you go face that stuff with the grace of God? Why don't you face that stuff with the love of God, with God in your corner, with God on your side? You know what? You might be listening to this and you're having that realization of where you're at. You've just got so far to go. Can I encourage you that today you can do it with Jesus on your side? You can do that with God. He will strengthen you, as that scripture is that I read. He will strengthen you. And we don't know the strength of God. We actually don't even know the reality of who God is without struggle in our world. That's the truth. Because if life was perfect and there was no sin, we wouldn't need Jesus. We know the reality. Today is your day where if you accept Jesus, you will realize, man, there is all of heaven behind me. There is a love greater than what I've ever experienced. And God wants to fill you with joy today. So as every eye is closed, I'm just going to ask if you lift your hand in a second. I'm not going to ask anyone out the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I do want to pray with you, don't I? I just want to know who I'm praying with. So if you'd like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you just boldly lift your hand right now? It's going to look across a couple of times. Could you just lift your hand if you would like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Give your heart to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I see your hand there, sir. God bless you. So, so good. Anyone out here this morning? Just one last time. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray with you, man. Just own this prayer as your prayer, okay? First prayer, maybe before God. Maybe all the other prayers have been crying out to God, help. But this one is you giving your heart to God. Here I am. Lord God, I acknowledge today, first of all, that you were real, that you sent your son Jesus, that he did die. He was an actual human being on this planet. He died. He rose again victorious. I believe that the Bible is true and that Jesus is now sitting in heaven. He will come back for me one day. But right now, his spirit is on this earth. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me in a way I've never known before? Would you fill me with love? Would you fill me with acceptance? I give this pain that I'm holding, I give it to you right now. I don't know what to do with this pain. So God, I'm just going to give you this pain. I just say, here you go. And could you do something with that? God, I give you my life. From now on, I choose you. I'm going to walk a life of faith. I'm going to do my best every day. I'm going to fail, I know that. But I'm going to get back up. And I'm just going to go again. Thank you for that grace that allows me to do that and allows me on this journey. I call you my God, and I call myself today a Christian, a believer in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Before we clap, I just want to say that God sees the knot that's deep down inside, that knot. I don't know if it's pain or hurt or neglect, maybe, but there's a knot deep down, and God sees that. This is what He's going to do. The Bible says that the Spirit of God is inside of every one of us. The Spirit's going to breathe on your life. He's got plans for you. And that knot is going to start to unwind. When it unwinds, so what I'm saying to you right now is what they call a prophecy. As that knot unwinds, what you're going to realize is they were roots. And those roots have been holding you back in a bind. But God is breathing life into those roots. And the roots won't disappear. But the roots are going to go deep now, full of life. And God is going to establish you as a mighty young man. If you continue on this journey, He has a plan for your life that you have never even thought about yet. I believe this. I believe God is going to give you a dream. In the short future, coming weeks, I believe God's going to give you a dream, okay, of the man that He formulated for you to become. So I'm not sure if that's like a preacher or someone in the workplace or a business owner. I'm possibly seen in an evangelist, okay? So what that means is a person that tells people about Jesus. When you're an evangelist, you have a special anointing on your life. All the evangelists in the church know that today. There's a special anointing. You just say a few words and people get convicted by the power of God. It's amazing. So I'm seeing that over your life, but wait for a dream, okay? God's going to give you a dream. I don't know if it's a day dream or if it's a night dream. He's going to give you a dream. And that knot inside of you, don't wait for the knot to disappear. Wait for life to come to it. It's going to unwind and the roots are going to go deep. A tree is going to come out of you, a tree of life. Receive that today? It's awesome, man. Church, why don't we give God a shout of praise? Why don't we stand to our feet this morning?